You know, we live in a society where it seems like we are constantly bombarded with toxic messaging and even negative content that really doesn't align with many family values. In fact, I'd go as far to say that it's not even positive. It tends to be negative. Well, the newest podcast from the Must Increase Network, Connection Culture, helps you and your family navigate this media-driven culture that we live in and helps you discover how you can actually use the power of connection to make more meaningful relationships and increase truth and inspire hope in the lives of others. And we wanted to showcase this podcast to you this month. So this month, Church Media HQ is on hiatus as we prepare new content for August and beyond. So we're bringing you replays this month, and we're going to be bringing you one replay episode from Connection Culture each week. So if you like what you hear, go subscribe to Connection Culture wherever you listen to podcasts. You can also find it on YouTube and Facebook. And let's get right to this replay episode of Connection Culture. Hey, welcome to today's episode. And I am once again joined by our producer, Bo Snyder. And we are doing something really cool this month. We're calling it Movie Month. So we're basically going to be breaking down different movies, sagas, franchises, and different areas of movies, categories from different studios. And we're going to be pulling out the truth that you can find in these stories. And so I'm really excited about it. Hope you are too. My name's Luke Clayton, and this is Connection Culture. Well, I'm excited about this month of episodes
here.
This
is going to be good.
This is going to be pretty great. So we're calling this month Movie Month. We're basically going to review, we'll get into what it's all about specifically. I guess you'll kind of figure it out as we go. But I thought it was appropriate because this month we've got a lot of big... people are kind of starting to go back to the movies.
They are.
You know, a lot of the big movies that got pushed from last year are now coming out. I think Black Widow comes out soon. The Fast and Furious 9 is coming out soon. And and I think we've, at the time of release, at this point, we've already had like A Quiet Place 2. And so there's a lot of these movies are getting back out there.
Things were on hold for a while.
Yeah,
but it's coming back.
For a whole year. So, which is great to see, in my opinion. I do love the movies in and of themselves, like actually going physically to a theater, you know, experiencing it in that way.
I'm still a fan of that. We were actually just talking about Disney Plus a second ago. Mm-hmm. I love all those kinds of things, but going to the theater, I'll pay the extra money.
Exactly.
I mean, I'm very selective. I just don't want to see everything.
Yeah.
It's like, this is going to be an experience. So.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, you know, like HBO Max did that thing where like they're releasing them in the theater. They announced everything in 2021 that was going to be in the theater was going to be on HBO Max the same day. And the only benefit I found of that is like there are movies. Basically, it's all Warner Brother movies.
Right.
So there are Warner Brother movies. It's like, well, yeah, I really don't care to see it. And I definitely wouldn't go to like Godzilla vs. Kong. I was like, I'm not going to go see that.
Yeah.
But I did watch it on HBO Max
and
fell asleep, you know, so
there you go.
It was perfect for that.
I'm not going to leave my house and pay $20 to do that.
Exactly. Yeah. So anyways, but what we're going to be doing this month is not necessarily reviewing, like we're not reviewing necessarily new movies. We're going to kind of be a little bit retroactive, nostalgic, whatever you want to call it. We're going to be looking back. We'll review some newer movies, but for the most part, we're going to just be looking at some of the classics in different categories. And we're not going to give a distinct review, as in, this is why the cinematography is so good. I mean, we might have some favorite moments that we mentioned.
We might nerd out for a minute, but...
But by and large, it's also not about, well, this is how many cuss words are in it, and this is all the violent moments, and all the moments you need to turn it off, because honestly, we're not even going to be reviewing stuff super intense. You know, for example, this week we're talking about Pixar, so it doesn't get crazy out of control there. And so that's kind of our approach. What we want to help the if you're watching or listening, what we want to help you see is more of the subliminal messaging that exists in all stories. And some of that subliminal messaging is intentional, and it can be potentially negative. But there's some of it, it might not be so intentional, and it also might actually, in a roundabout way, be somewhat positive.
Sure.
And you know, this is something that you and I have talked about before, and I'll actually let you take it from here. You and I both share this. We hate it when people are just claim that everything that comes out of Hollywood is bad.
Yes, we've heard that several times, probably 100 times from different people. And of course, I get that. We talked about, you know, Hollywood, all these big production companies, they, you know, whether it's Disney or whoever, do they have their own agenda? Sure. Sure they do. They have the way they believe, the way they want to, you know, portray the world or whatever, and we get all that. But at the same time, you got to think of it this way. And what you can, you know, think whatever percentage you want. They also produce a lot of good.
Yeah.
They really, really do. I mean, you know, we'll get into this a little bit later, but I mean, yes, Hollywood produces some things that we probably don't really care for, not the way we think, not the way we believe, not what we want our kids to see. But at the same time, they've been producing movies for a long time that stick to the traditional mom and dad family. You know, movies are meant to lift people up. Hey, let's watch a movie, because you know, nobody watches a movie. Hopefully they cry at the end. Well, maybe you do once in a great while. But most of the time, Hollywood or these big production companies, they give you what you want. You want these two people to fall in love. You want this team to win the championship. You want this superhero to save the world, win the match, whatever it is. So there's so much good that is there that can uplift, you know, be good entertainment for kids. But also, of course, you got to filter it. I understand that. But let's actually take a look at what's good and say, we're going to use this.
Yes, so. Yes. And at the heart of all movies is story.
Sure.
And story is just good for the soul. And it is our civilization. We really thrive on story. And video and film has become the most effective way to tell stories that I've seen. And, you know, technology will advance. Maybe something different will come along that's more effective, that's better. But, I mean, in the past century or so that we've had this medium of video, there has been no better way to tell an amazing story.
Oh, no, for sure. You're absolutely right.
And total side note, you know, we it's no secret that you and I, hey, we love to actually produce and create this content
as well.
So
yes, we
get a lot of inspiration from watching it. So let's dive in. Let's start talking about Pixar. Now, here's something I didn't realize until right before we started recording.
Okay.
As of right now, we'll actually go by time of release, because the Luca is the newest one that has just come out in June.
Okay.
So as of that film released June of this year, there have been 24 Pixar movies. That's hard for me to believe.
It is. That, wow.
Yeah, because I remember the very first Pixar movie is, of course, Toy Story.
Of course.
And I was 4 years old. My dad took me to see it in the movie theater, first time I ever went to the theater. And I'm not kidding. I remember it to this day.
Really?
I remember the, just even as a four-year-old boy, maybe a lot of that could be because it was my first theatrical experience or whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, the animation, just to think that they could do animation like this when they literally had, all they had was Windows 95. That's pretty incredible.
It is.
And of course, there's that awesome connection there with Steve Jobs and that, you know, he was kind of, a lot of people don't really remember that, but Steve Jobs is kind of what made Pixar, kind of got it started, got it rolling. Yeah. It was more or less producing little short films, and he said, no, let's make a feature, got Disney to partner with him. And so, you know, if you actually pay attention to the credits, Steve Jobs is the executive producer of Toy Story.
That is, that's true.
And so just another way, you know, Steve Jobs, super innovative mind, you know, obviously the mind behind Apple, the iPhone, and even Pixar and what it is now. It's pretty awesome. So now, again, we don't have time to jump into all this, but the Toy Story franchise, I will say, overall, there's four of them at this point.
I was going to say, is there four or five now? There's four.
You know, okay.
I think, are they done? I think it's over.
You know, I've heard rumors of a fifth one. I think the next one that is confirmed that's, if you will, in the Toy Story universe is like this standalone movie about Buzz Lightyear.
I was just going to ask about that. That you said that, because I was like, they never did a standalone with Buzz. Of course, nowadays, you know, whether it's Star Wars or whatever, Marvel, it seems like everyone's breaking out into a standalone, like, oh, let's show where this character came from. And I guess they haven't really done that with Buzz.
Yeah, so,
I mean, they could.
So, yeah, now the more common thing is to create, you know, a cinematic universe rather than a saga. You know,
yes.
A saga is kind of these, you know, continuing sequels and whatever, like Fast and Furious, Star Wars.
Best saga out there.
Fast and Furious or Star Wars?
Oh, Fast and Furious.
Okay, we disagree. So, but those are sequential, and you know, Star Wars even calls them episodes. Yeah. Whereas with a universe like a Marvel, well, you've got Thor over here, you've got Captain America, Iron Man. May both those last two, may they rest. They're no longer in the universe.
Ooh, that hurts. That hurts.
But they bring them, and then they bring them together in the Avengers. And so, and yes, that is coming later. We're going to get to Marvel later. So getting back to Toy Story, though, yeah, the Lightyear, that's kind of the next one. I'm not really sure what that's going to be all about. But the Toy Story franchise overall, you know, it's the original. And just the idea behind it is super creative. You know, toys come to life when you're not around. And right. Every kid out there that's seen Toy Story wonders, wait, Are my dolls talking to each other right now while I'm not at home? You know,
right, back when kids actually had awesome toys.
Yeah,
really, that's so true. A sad conversation there.
But so Toy Story, I really love, you know, obviously the creativity behind it, and you know, just a lot of good. I think there's a lot of good values, you know, scattered throughout these movies. You know, I don't see any, and obviously we didn't have the time to go back and rewatch all of these movies, you know, so that they're fresh on our minds. But you know, I saw Toy Story 4 a few months ago, and you know, it's just got that classic Pixar of, man, there's always a great meaning, there's always some type of great, you know, underlying theme, if you will, you know, about, you see this camaraderie of these toys, you know, as the characters, and right. And then you do, like, going back to what you're saying about toys, and you know, kind of made a jab at toys, but nowadays we live in a society where kids are playing video games, you know, their favorite mm-hmm. toy is their iPad or their iPhone, right. And to see just, you know, in the early days, of course, it's Andy, you know, the owner of the toys, and then yep. It transitions to Bonnie. She's the Toy Story 3 and 4. They, yep. He kind of gives her toys away to her.
Yeah. You know, not to cut you off there. No, I wonder, I guess I haven't really thought about this until I just said it. I wonder if kids, okay, obviously me and you, we're 90s kids. You know, there's whole, you know, we are. That's cool. I wonder if kids nowadays... I wonder if Toy Story is as good to them as it is to us. Hmm. Because, like I said, we did have physical toys. We did have things that we, you know, like I had G.I. Joes and all these things that you physically played with. I mean, I'm not saying kids don't have those, but like, okay, this is going to sound really funny and cheesy. I mean, I remember playing with my G.I. Joes till I was like 10 years old, you know? And like that's why Toy Story was cool. Because, like, I don't have a Buzz, but I've kind of got something like that.
Yeah.
But now, and of course, you know, Toy Story is the original one is a little bit older, but the quality is still amazingly good. Yeah. Dude, that's like 26 years old.
Yeah.
It's still good. That's like still really good. But I wonder if kids just kind of like look at it. It's kind of a, you know, deep thought. But look at it in the same way, or like, I don't really have toys. I don't really.
Yeah. If they're,
you know,
connecting.
It's kind of a funny thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah. I guess.
And I would say, there, you know, the younger a child is, the more they connect to that. You know, I mean, I think of my own daughter. She's almost actually at the time of release of this episode, she will be 4. That is.
Wow.
That's crazy. In and of itself.
That is true.
But, you know, she is in the age where she loves playing with toys and whatever. So, but yes, the older a kid gets, you know, and they start to get into iPads and iPhones, and they download the games, the apps,
right?
And that does become their favorite toy. So it is really cool to see in Toy Story how, man, these kids, because I love the sequences they do, the scenes where you're seeing the, like, it happens in what is it? It happens in like the very first, you know, you're seeing Andy like play with his toys.
Oh, okay,
you know?
Yeah. He's flying them around.
Yeah, and, yeah. Yep. And, you know, and then there's a couple, I don't think this happens in the actual movies, but they do have a bunch of little spin-off like short films on Disney Plus.
Okay.
They have a couple where they're showing like the, kind of like they're taking it one step further and they're really dramatizing, you know, using those toys, what the child is imagining. And it is, it's just, what I'm getting at is I think it's really cool to say, hey, look, yes, it's creativity and imagination in children.
Yeah.
It is core.
Sure.
It's core to who they are and who they're going to become.
Yeah.
And to see children that are, you know, Andy and Bonnie and these kids to be so, just get so much enjoyment and so much happiness out of playing with toys and not sitting in front of a screen and whatever. I do think that is pretty refreshing. And again, I don't know if that's what Pixar and Disney are trying to do.
I don't know.
Because they're clearly putting a lot of digital media. I mean, it's ironic. Toy Story gets watched on a screen about how you should play with your toys.
That is funny. But it's okay. Take this approach. I don't know how many times as a kid I would see something in a movie and I'd want to go build it. Like, oh, this little gang had a tree fort. I want to build a tree fort. Or this, you know, okay. Like even in a scene in Toy Story, like I think he made a fake bank out of a box.
Yep.
And he's just like, he's robbing it, you know?
I did that as a kid.
Straight up. Things like that. It's like, you don't really think about it too much as a kid, but as you get older, it's like, there's so much like things for the kid's mind in these things. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, I mean, it's super cool. It really is.
So anyways, Toy Story, we probably should move on to talking about a few other, and again, we're trying to more touch on these ones that have sequels, just more of the franchise than diving into individual movies. I think the next one in terms of chronologically that was released was, there was A Bug's Life. And I like A Bug's Life. I think again, just that Pixar creativity. It did get a lot of flack though, because of the animation. It just didn't seem as, because you know, it clearly looked animated and fake because it's ants and bugs whatever.
Yes.
But I still think it's an incredibly original story. I think it's really good. I mean, I've gone back at this point and watched a lot of these with my daughter, and she likes them all. So we won't spend too much time there. And then, of course, there's Toy Story 2. So we've kind of already done that. Then there's Monsters, Inc. Love Monsters,
Inc. I love Monsters,
and Monsters
Inc.
University, which was prequel.
I'm a big fan of Monsters.
Yeah, yeah. Now again, just these Pixar people are clearly brilliant geniuses. I mean, just saying, you know, the idea of I just love how, hey, let's take a fear that kids have and let's make it. Let's give them a reason not to be afraid anymore. You know, I mean, really, that's what they're doing.
Sure.
I mean, I guess maybe Sesame Street did this originally, you know, with the monsters and whatever.
I guess.
But they're taking it a step further and saying, you know, people are afraid that monsters come out of their closet at night. Mm-hmm. That's what kids are afraid of.
Right.
And they say, oh no, look, they're all friendly, and this is just a job. And then at the end, everything even changes to where they're making them laugh, and
That's a very heartwarming ending, by the way. It's just like, oh, that's so great.
It really is. And of course, Boo is an amazing little cute little animated child.
You know what's funny is, this is a really small thing I just thought of, but at the very end when he walks into her room and he's like looking for her, she says Kitty, it's so weird because you can tell in her voice she's older now, and it's just like this really really weird,
very subtle,
like,
but it's there.
It's just one word. It's like she's like. It's just kind of funny. Yeah. I know, it's just kind of strange.
Yeah.
But it's a really great moment. I was going to say something else about – oh, I know what I was going to say. No matter what movie it is – and we've talked about this before too, but I think even kids or anyone, everyone identifies with this. In every single movie, there's characters that you go, yep, that's me, or that's you.
Yeah.
Or it's kind of like Mike Wazowski and you know, whatever. It's like, oh, that's that person. Or it's kind of like everyone has someone like, oh, dude, that's totally my friend Joe or whatever, you know. I love figuring out characters like, okay, even though we don't really like that character, it totally fits in. They feed off each other, and I get a kick out of it. I love when kids like mimic people, like Boo actually does. Mike Wazowski.
Yeah,
you know, it's just kind of cool. I love when kids do that. It's pretty fun.
Yeah, yeah. So who do you identify with there in Monsters, Inc.? Who's your? That's my guy.
Well,
that's me.
I was gonna say Sully, because you know Sully, he's like, he's like, you know, he tries to be all big and tough. He's like, which a lot of guys are. I mean, they're just. He's just a soft guy, and it's just kind of like, you know, hey, Mike, just come in. We're you know, like, Mike freaks out about everything. It's like, no, it's going to be okay, you know.
I was going to say the same thing. I feel like I identify there because it's like, I'm a physically big guy. I'm like 6'5", and but at the end, it's like I'm really too nice sometimes.
Yeah,
you know?
You are.
And so,
you can get tough, though.
I can, you know, turn to the camera and rawr, you know, like he does.
Right, right.
But anyway, so yeah, the Monsters movies are both great, and then Monsters University is good too. You know, not as you know,
haven't
nothing,
seen that as many times.
Yeah,
it's good.
I've seen it. I've rewatched a lot of these with Brooklyn over the past couple years, and so yeah. But anyways, they're both just a very, if nothing else, a clever concept. And what I like is that, hey, we're gonna take this thing that's scary to kids. Mm-hmm. We're going to make it, hey, here's a reason not to be afraid. They're just fun. They're having a good time, you know.
Super random before we go on. I forgot to mention this about the Toy Story. Do you know in Toy Story 3, they almost lost the entire project?
No way.
Yeah, true story. In Toy Story 3, it's hard to say. Toy Story 3, wherever they're, I mean, I don't know if it's Florida or wherever they're working on it, something crashed and they lost.
Oh,
all,
so like they almost lost the
file. Actually, like what they were working on, like all of their actual files.
Wow.
And there was one person that was, I think it was a mom who was on maternity leave or something. She was working from home and they called her and said, do you have all these files at home? She's like, Yeah, I got all of them. And she saved the entire project. I kid you not. Look it up. Totally true story.
Well, I had heard, and I heard this happen with Toy Story 2, completely kind of different. They almost lost the project, but a different way.
Okay.
That was the – they basically presented the rough cut to the producers, and they hated it.
Really?
And, I mean, they were within months of release. Wow. Like it was – and they had to – I mean, I've heard – I don't know if it was – maybe it was it was one of the Pixar movies. Okay. I want to say it was Toy Story 2.
Okay.
But they hated it. They said, nope, this is awful.
No way.
And they made them completely – like, they couldn't use hardly any of what they'd already made.
Okay.
And, I mean, I've heard all these stories, like, people just were literally just working 24/7. Like, they were sleeping in their offices.
Wow.
To – because they had to basically do – because to make these animated movies, you're talking 3 to 4 years. Of production.
Crazy.
It's insane.
Crazy. I mean, they're working on movies right now we won't hear about for 2 years.
Exactly.
It's just the way it is.
And so they basically have to do all this work in about 6 months, I think it was. So, yeah, I guess Toy Story has had its woes.
This is off topic a little bit, but this happens. If you think every movie has all the money they want, all the time they want, everything goes smooth, it's actually not true.
No.
I mean, there's movies like Tom Cruise Impossible series
mm-hmm.
where it's like they ran out of time. They get one chance to shoot this scene, and of course, because it's Tom Cruise, it comes out perfectly.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just kind of like, oh, we didn't have any more money. It's like. I get a kick out of that. That's a whole other production, you know, thing there. But anyway.
Well, so all that to say, they've definitely had their struggle. So moving on, the next one is, again, we're just going by the timeline, is Finding Nemo. And, of course, there's Finding Dory, the sequel later. I like, again, Finding Nemo, I love the father-son relationship there.
Sure.
You've got this... you know, for obvious reasons, overprotective father, you know, because of all the trauma they've been through there with their...
I think a lot of people can identify with that.
Yep.
It's like, my dad didn't let me do anything.
Yeah.
I like Marley. He's a good guy.
I thought of my mom. I love my mom, but that's who I thought of,
sure,
you know?
Sure,
but
sure.
That is what parents do.
Yeah.
And, you know, then watching it later as a parent, you get a little bit of that. You kind of understand some of that perspective. But at the same time, you know, there's whether it was something he wanted to or not, Nemo had to break free, and he had to kind of go out and start to discover on his own. And
sure.
He had some troubles, he had some struggles, but in the end, they're more connected than ever, and he learned a lot.
We've talked about this several times. This is why Pixar is incredible, is because almost every single story, it's actually more centered around like an adult way, meaning, hey, you're going to go out in the world, you're going to have problems, you're going to get lost, you're going to whatever, but then you're going to come back. It's like that doesn't happen to a 5-year-old kid. Like a kid just doesn't leave home and, you know, gets lost. You know, I mean, you know, it doesn't usually happen. But it's funny how there's so many times where this is actually an adult theme, but told in a kid way, which makes it really great. It's kind of awesome.
Yeah, so a lot of good there. And then, you know, you get to Finding Dory, and again, being the sequel, not as, you know, remembered as the classic, maybe, or the original.
Still good.
But still good.
Production note on that. I have a production note for everything. Is Finding Nemo, that took them months of prep. Because have you ever seen, if you ever watch behind the scenes, like with any animated movie, like they kind of, everything looks really rough. Like they're actually getting all the motions right before they actually fill in all the detail and everything. It took them months to figure out the underwater feel. Because everything like moves and sways.
Oh, yeah.
It took them forever to figure that. It didn't look right. Like this is, it took them a long time to figure that out. I've watched the whole
that
thing
makes
on
sense.
It was really cool because like, they've never done like an underwater. Everything's different underwater.
That's true.
You know,
and again,
cool.
Animation in and of itself is just an insane whole other ball game.
I was good at that kind
of stuff. Yeah, I know, right? It's crazy. So, Finding Nemo. Then next is The Incredibles. And then, of course, later comes Incredibles 2. And I do like The Incredibles movies.
I like the first one.
Yeah.
Second one was not really my thing.
Yeah, the second, I will say, and I'm not going to go into detail. The second one, they were trying to be a little more woke.
I was just going to say, and this wasn't the reason I didn't like it. I just didn't think the story was as good. It's like, oh, dad, stay at home. Mom's going to go out, which is nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
But it had a very, and this is kind of crossing over into something a little bit more, is sometimes you got to be careful with this, and we know this happens, is it's like, okay, they are totally playing to the adult audience right here on purpose.
Yep, yep.
Big time. It's like, okay, the kids don't realize they're trying to push this thing, which is, you know, it's innocent, you know, to the kids' eyes, but it's like, oh, that's what they're actually trying to say right now. It's like, yeah,
Yeah.
Might have to put that in there, and I don't know.
Yeah, so, you know, but in the, especially the original one, the first one, yeah. Really, really good. Just cool to see that kind of Pixar take on superheroes.
Sure.
You know, so moving on to Cars, and then there's Cars 2, there's Cars 3. I will be honest, Cars 1 is great, Cars 2 and 3, meh.
Dude, you know, actually just reading reviews. Cars 1 is really good.
Yeah.
But 2 completely flopped.
Yeah.
And 3 was okay-ish. Yeah. I personally think 2 was decent and 3 was horrible. But
really?
That's just my personal opinion. But first one was good.
Yeah.
I like it.
It's one of those things where they kind of got away from their roots, if you will, in 2 and then a little bit in 3.
Well, because 2 is actually more about Mater. Like, McQueen's hardly in it at all.
Yeah, yeah. It was kind of – but Cars 1 is good. You know, again, the great – kind of lessons they're taught about ego, you know,
definitely.
Obviously, yep, a lot there.
The theme of that.
So a lot of good, I think there's still a lot of good to get out of there. Moving on to Ratatouille. Now, Ratatouille, it's just one of those, I've seen it, I just don't have a lot of thoughts about it because I've only seen it maybe once, and to me, it's just not super memorable.
Ratatouille is very good. The quality is excellent. I mean, it's set in, you know, Paris. I mean, it's kind of got that romantic feel. It doesn't have, I kind of know what you mean, it doesn't have as of a strong, like, what are you trying to tell me?
Yeah.
What am I trying to learn here? Obviously, I mean, this kid, he kind of finds his place and the mouse does, and it's kind of like, oh, you can be more. I get that, but it's not a really punch you in the face kind of a theme or kind of story. It's just kind of like, oh, okay, it's nice. But
yeah.
I think I get what you mean.
Well,
there.
It's kind of like Pixar movies are known for having that moment.
Yeah.
And I can't think of that in Ratatouille.
No.
You know?
No.
And so, now, what are your thoughts? Because this is the next one. What are your thoughts about Wall-E? I'm going to let you lead the way on this
one.
Oh,
dude, why did you have to do that?
Yeah.
I saw Wall-E one time. I would have been in high school, I think, 2007. Yeah.
Same here.
I mean, I thought I was like, this was the biggest waste of my 2 hours ever. Like, I don't remember.
Well, there's no dialogue at all. I mean, it's just this. I mean, as far as I remember, there might be very.
There's a little bit.
But it's mostly just this robot wandering through piles of junk.
Yeah. I don't understand how that's a major picture. I don't know who said.
And dude, that would be
something where someone's like, yeah, scratch that, try something else. Like, I don't understand how that actually made it to the big screen.
But there's a lot of people who rave about it.
Maybe I need to watch it again.
I think this comes down to something where it's like, you got to understand the difference between what the critics think and what people really think.
Right. Oh.
I don't care what critics
say. This is funny. Just a few days ago, my wife and I, we were looking on Hulu or something. Oh, no, Amazon Prime. And she wanted to watch this movie. I don't even know what it was. But she said, oh, it won all these awards and everything. I said, it's probably a horrible movie. Because like, most of the time, something wins a bunch of awards, the audiences hate it.
Yeah.
But, well, on the other side, movies that are like really, really great, as far as the audience likes them, they don't really get any recognition. Yeah. I mean, not all the time.
Well, I mean, that's a total tangent there. And all I'll say is, like, the Academy, the Oscars, all that, it's a joke.
Oh, dude, it is an absolute.
It has become so woke, and it's become so about inclusiveness and whatever. It's not about story. It's not about quality of film anymore.
No.
It's about Hollywood saying, hey, look how much we love ourselves.
Right.
You know, like in the Hunger Games when you've got all the elite that everybody hates?
Yep.
That's what I think of when I, whenever I see the Oscars or whatever.
There's got to be a meme about that.
Now, that said, Pixar almost always wins an Oscar, and they earn it.
Okay, tell me, I mean, think of, this is getting off topic a little bit. I know we got to wrap up here pretty soon. Give me, I'm trying to think of like some Oscars that were actually like, okay, that definitely deserved one.
Gladiator.
Okay, Gladiator. Yeah. I mean, Titanic, obviously.
Yeah, Titanic. Probably I'm trying to think of what would have been the last movie to win an Oscar that I would have actually, because here's
kind of. Relevant.
Did it win though?
Well, no, hold on. Okay, I just think of, he just won the best.
DiCaprio won.
Okay, but the movie did, okay.
I can't, but here's kind of been the trend,
mm-hmm.
is over time, they've still nominated the good ones, like the ones that people actually watched, but now we're getting to the point where they're not even getting nominated anymore.
Wow.
So that is a whole side note. Maybe we can come back and address that in a later episode. But so now moving on to, of course, then the next one after Wall-E is Up. Up is a beautiful story, but it is one that I've only seen like one time.
I saw that late high school, or maybe probably college at that time.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't remember too much about it. I mean, I pretty much remember that old man in balloons.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's a good story, I think, but I just, I think I saw it like one time. Yeah. I don't know much about it. I really don't.
Yeah, and a lot of people like it. And I think there's a lot of sweet elements to it, if you will. You know, the husband, the wife, and then she dies and all and things. So, you know, I just can't speak to it a lot because it has been a while since I've seen it. So then you've got, you know, I'm skipping some of the sequels. The next kind of original one is Brave. Brave should have just been a Disney animated movie.
Never saw it.
It should have not been a Pixar. I saw it for the first time just a few months ago.
Oh, really?
Okay. Because, again, kind of watching through some of these with my daughter.
Yep.
And it should have been a Disney – it should have been just a Disney princess movie because she's kind of a Disney princess.
Right.
And it didn't feel – it just didn't feel like Pixar. It felt more like Disney. Now, most people
it
might not...
It felt more like a Tangled feel or...
Maybe. Now, there's a little bit of the Pixar... It's unique. It's got a unique, you know, thing, and I'm not going to give away the story. But at the end of the day, I think it's definitely one of the lower on the list ones.
Here's the thing, is I think the biggest difference... I mean, to me, this is just me, my personal opinion. The biggest difference between Pixar and, like, a Disney animated movie is Pixar is things that... aren't people like cars or literally cars or toys or you know, it's like, okay, something comes to life that isn't normally
usually they're taking a something that
inanimate
is,
object
an inanimate object or something that is not personified and they're personifying it.
Yes.
You know,
that's what I think of when I think of Pixar. It's like, oh, this is a
like Monsters and Monsters University. Yeah. Okay, hey, we're gonna give them personality, we're gonna, you know,
right?
And yeah, this was more about, and there some would argue there's some magic and some things in it, you know, it's kind of like based in Scotland and whatever. It's interesting.
Okay.
But it's not, you know, not something I would rewatch. So then next, of course, we got Monster University, but we can talk about monsters. Now, next is Inside Out.
Oh, I'm going to let you take this one for a few minutes.
I love Inside Out. In fact, it's one of my favorite kids' movies. I don't know if I want to say it's my favorite Pixar movie just because there's so many classics like Toy Story and whatnot. But Inside Out is amazing.
This is definitely probably the deepest, like, I had to think during this movie. Like, most Pixar is
which
like,
I love movies like that.
I know you do. I know you do.
It is the most original, like, kind of angle that they've ever taken. So, if for those who haven't seen it, basically they're taking the emotions of a child and they are you're literally going inside of this little girl's head. And they are personifying those emotions. They all, you know, those are your characters. So they have, I mean, literally they have joy and sadness and anger. I mean, that's the names of these characters.
Yeah.
And it is. I mean, I like to call it the Inception for kids because ever seen Inception, we'll get there later as well. It just explains the mind and mental health and emotional thing. It explains it really well for children, in my opinion, and for anybody who, you know, because a lot of times when it comes to your mental, your psychological, you know, health, people don't really think about it. It's something you take for granted.
I was going to say anything of the mental health, it's becoming more and more prevalent. There's more and more books about it. More and more people are talking about it, podcasts about it. It's kind of those things. Oh, yeah. It sounds cheesy in the moment. Yeah. Oh, your mental health. That's kind of weird. But it's actually a huge thing.
Yeah, it is. Because it's one of those things that a lot of over the years, it's kind of gotten a bad rap because when you say mental health, you think, well, you must be a psycho.
Of course.
You know? Yeah. But no, it does a good job of helping children, but really anyone understand, you know, the concept of mental and emotion and your emotions, what all that means, how it plays out. And really, not to spoil it, but hey, it's been out since 2015. You've had your time to see it.
Right.
Really, in the end, the point is that the Joy character, she keeps trying to basically silence the sadness character, and this girl, you know, her family's relocated across the country.
Yep.
She's you know, the idea is that she's just trying to, like, say, hey, you know, squish down those sad feelings, like, I'm good.
Yeah.
And then in the end, Joy realizes, oh, I gotta step aside, and just lets that girl basically lose it, and she's sad, and sadness steps in, and you see the value of all the emotions.
Yeah, sure.
And anyways, I mean, I watched this with...
I want to cry right now.
I know. Seriously. It really is. I watched this one with my daughter. It was about 6 months ago or so, you know. And I mean, Brooklyn, you could tell. I mean, this is making
a 4-year-old girl,
three-year-old at the time. But I mean, you can tell she was into it. She had moments where she actually was crying. Yeah. You know,
isn't it funny how you just said in the movie how that Joey just lets sadness just go,
yeah,
just kind of lets it out. And it's just funny how you can, like, you know, say you're feeling sad or whatever. We've all been there. We've all cried about something or, you know, whatever it is you can just like, oh, I'm good. And then when you have that mental breakdown, you just have to have it, and that's like, okay, now I actually really am good.
Yeah.
You know, it's just kind of like that, like, I had to let all that go, and then it's like, okay, restart, we're good, you know.
Yeah, but so Inside Out, definitely one of – it's up there. It is definitely
– I didn't really know that about you until today.
I love that one. I've only seen it – and the first time I'd ever seen it was, like I said, just about 6 months ago when I watched it with Brooklyn. And
I kind of want to rewatch it.
Yeah, now. It's really good. So, yeah. Now – moving on. The Good Dinosaur, let's not even talk about it.
No, nope, pass it up.
I've seen it. Not worth discussing. It's okay. Check it out.
2 hours, I'm not getting back.
Yeah. Wow, that's harsh.
Yeah,
of course, and, you know, and now moving on, here's Finding Dory. There's Cars 3. Now moving on, Coco. Now, confession, never seen it.
I have.
So, Coco is one of those ones, and so you're going to have to take the lead here, but I know that Coco is one of those movies that gets a lot of props for originality, for creativity, for the thing, but I have never seen it. And to be honest with you, I understand what they're trying to do. They're trying to do maybe the same thing they did with Monsters, and they're trying to make maybe death not so scary. It's just a little weird for me, which is why I've never taken that step to watch it with my daughter.
Yeah, I wouldn't. It does two things, and, you know, just, you know, I'm just going to say it. It obviously plays to the Hispanic world, the Hispanic culture. Mm-hmm. Nothing wrong with that, obviously. But it – and I don't know too much about it. But I think down in, like, those countries, like, there's actually, like, a Day of the Dead and these holidays. Yeah.
Now, that's what it's all about. It's about that day of the dead.
They play to that, and they really do. It's like – it's just like this big party, and there's skeletons everywhere. And it was kind of like this isn't – and obviously I'm looking at it from a Christian perspective,
yeah,
obviously.
Yeah.
But even put that aside, it's like, it's just very strange. It really makes it like, oh, death and evil is not that it's evil. It's just I don't know how to explain it. It just makes it like flowery and like very artistic. And it's like, this is not right at all.
I think that's the intention of that holiday.
I think so too.
And whatever. I don't want to dive into the cultural differences there because I really don't understand it. So, you know, because I have talked to one Hispanic guy that I knew that he kind of talked about the value of it and whatever. And it seems creepy, but it's not. And maybe, and again, I'm kind of coming from a place of ignorance here because I've not studied out and I've actually never seen the movie.
Right.
But to me, it's
like you said, it's one thing to, like you said, most things have an adult theme, I guess, but like, mm-hmm. this is too much.
Yeah,
this is not I would not want my child to watch this.
Really?
It's kind of disturbing in a way, like all these kind of like, of course, not that dancing is horrible, like these weird musical numbers, and they kind of just like dive into like this. We're kind of in this weird fast track. Yeah. It's just kind of very strange.
Well, and then there is the thing, you know, talk about coming from a faith perspective, you know, from obviously it doesn't line up with the Christian worldview,
of
the afterlife and whatnot. And so, you know, that's I can see how that can be maybe challenging. So, okay, now then they had Incredibles 2. We've already kind of touched on that. Toy Story 4, which I did love Toy Story 4. I really did. We've spent a lot of time on Toy Story. I don't want to get back into it too much, but
right.
You know, I was kind of expecting, okay, really? A Toy Story 4?
Dude,
but
it was good.
The ending, man.
Oh.
Gets you. And again, those Pixar moments.
I think we're thinking of the last couple lines there.
Yep.
It's just like, oh, that's what it means. Like,
I mean,
that was good.
It's one of those things, like, I kind of, oh, spoiler alert, but it's 2019. Again, it's been 2 years. You had a chance to see this.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, basically, you see Woody and Buzz. Man, they part ways, and it's pretty powerful.
Well,
you know?
I was even thinking more of the way of when Woody. I'm trying to think how I'm going to slaughter the last couple lines there, but I think Buzz says she'll be okay.
Yep, talk about Bonnie.
Yeah, that's what it's like. Oh, he's talking about Bo Peep. It's like, no, he's talking about Bonnie.
Yeah.
Like Woody. Yeah. Like, it's okay. She'll
that
be fine.
Whole moment, right?
Yeah,
there.
Like, it's like, oh, dude, like that's what he means. Like that was what really got me.
It's really good. So, Toy Story 4. Now, Onward. I started and did not finish, just to be honest.
You're going to take lead on that. I've not seen that one.
So I don't think there's a lot to say about this. I liked it. I liked Risk. It's kind of this, you know, wizard magic, you know, like,
well,
it's a little bit kind of makes me think about if Lord of the Rings was a cartoon in terms of the environment.
Is this a similar story? Like, does it have something to do, like, he's got to find his dad who's not around anymore or something?
Yeah, so his dad died, but he left like this, but they're all like wizards and stuff. So he left.
Okay.
Maybe more like if Harry Potter was animated.
Okay.
You know? So anyways, and he kind of leaves this way behind to have this spell to bring him back, and it doesn't work. And that's where it ended for me.
Okay.
But they're modernizing this idea, like they've got, you know, characters that play cops and that whatever. So it's kind of like they've created this modern world inside of this, like I said, wizard, Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings environment.
I mean, that guy drives a van.
Yeah, yeah. It's Chris Pratt. I love Chris Pratt.
I'm a big fan of Chris Pratt.
And Tom Holland's the other. And he's Spider-Man now. I like him too.
Yeah.
Those are the two main kind of characters. So anyways, I don't have a lot to say. But the only thing that I did kind of observe and what I did see of it was it seemed, again, like one of those movies that would have, it didn't seem as Pixar-ish to me as it did Disney-ish, if you will.
Okay.
Which I know for most people there, that's the same thing.
Yeah.
The only thing that concerns me there is that, you know, obviously Disney owns Pixar. They have full control of everything they do.
Sure.
And even when Disney makes their own, you know, like Frozen and these other, their standalone animated movies, they're tapping into the resources of Pixar there.
Of course they are.
And so the only thing that concerns me when I see a movie like Onward, or like I said, going back to even Brave, is, okay, is this the future of Disney to slowly, you know, merge Pixar and Disney animation together? And, you know, I would hate to see that, because what got your attention about Pixar was the animation.
Yeah.
But what kept you was the originality and creativity of the stories and the characters.
Of course.
So I don't know. That's probably not a genuine concern at this point. But now let's talk about Soul.
Yeah, finish up with Soul.
Comment on Luca because at this point, it hasn't, at the time of recording, it hasn't come out.
Right.
So, you know, we might do a follow up on that later. But we've already talked about Soul a little bit in one of our earlier episodes.
We have, yeah.
I really did love Soul.
Okay.
Again, so I like Soul because they took some of that deep, you know, kind of otherworldly concept from Inside Out.
Okay.
And they kind of brought it into explaining. And again, if you have Christian worldview, it doesn't line up with your view of, you know, eternity and the afterlife. I get that. But basically, the idea is that there is the great, you know, you've heard the term the great beyond.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they come up with this thing and say, what about the great before? So this is before anyone's ever born. There's little souls that are being shaped, that are being molded, and they're being given personality. And when you're born, those souls are sent to Earth, and that's when you come to physical life.
Right.
And first of all, that is the most pro-life message I could ever think of. I mean, if you want to argue that life doesn't begin, that life doesn't begin until the moment you are birthed, well, then why in the world would you give this idea that the souls of people are being formed? I mean, it's very biblical.
Yeah,
you know.
You think they try to do that?
They can't. They're Disney. There's no way.
Okay.
There's no way that's the message they were trying to convey.
No, I guess not.
But it is. So
it's
that is amazing. That part of it. And then the end of it is, so the idea is there's this guy. And it's very musical. They got a lot of jazz.
I figured Soul. I was like,
Jamie Foxx voices the main character.
Okay. Don't give everything away because I actually want to watch this. I do.
But anyway, so he's kind of like, he's your typical, we're here in Nashville, so we know all about this. Like,
oh,
he's
sure.
your musician. He's trying to make it big, but it's not happening.
All he's ever done
is teach music, you know? And basically the big moment at the end is where he kind of has this out of body experience and realizes that, even though he hasn't made it big, he has impacted lives in his teaching.
Sure.
And it's very, very powerful.
I need to watch
it. You do need to watch it. I love Soul. And just because I don't want to spoil it for you, I'm not going
to
keep on going into
it.
But Soul was definitely one of my, it's one of my favorites. It's up there.
Okay.
And so, again, we can't comment on Luca because at this time, haven't seen it. I've seen the trailer. Looks interesting. I know it's on Disney Plus, and I don't think you have to pay any extra to watch it if you have a Disney Plus subscription. So hopefully it's good. Hopefully, yeah. Hopefully Enrico Casarosa, the director, hopefully he did a good job with it.
I'm sure.
But anyways, well, this has been really good talking about Pixar. And next, and next week, We're going in, man.
Is it Marvel next week?
We're going into Marvel,
okay,
man.
Everybody, hold on here.
I love the Marvel, the Marvel universe. I've really grown to love it, so I'm looking forward to that. So, Bo, thanks for being with us, and we'll talk again soon. Thanks again for joining us for this episode of Connection Culture. If you haven't yet, please take a moment to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you're listening to podcasts, or even on YouTube. Connection Culture is a production of the Must Increase Network. The show is edited and produced by Bo Snyder. Executive producer and host is myself, Luke Clayton. And if you want to help this content gets seen by others, then the biggest thing you can do is to simply like it on Facebook or YouTube and share it with your friends to help it get seen by others like you. After all, it's going to be so much more fulfilling when you get behind the content you believe in, when you share, when you let others know, when you contribute in that way, because it is so much more fulfilling to be a creative contributor than to simply be a mindless, constant consumer. I'll see you next time right here on Connection Culture.